Good morning again, everybody. You doing okay? All right. Fantastic. So we really feel that God has placed it on our hearts to preach through the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament. And so last week we went through the first eight verses of chapter one. And so to help remind us, let's read those again. Let's go through that again. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. It should also be up on the screen, but I want to encourage you, get your Bibles out, get your phones out, the old books, get your eyes on it as well. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy, they're writing it together, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your, there it is, partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And so I want to draw our attention to verse 4 and verse 5. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Why? Why does he pray with joy? Because of your partnership in the gospel. So we're going to look at the prayer that Paul prays. But before we do that, let's do a quick little recap. What does Paul mean when he says partnership in the gospel? What does he have in mind? And so we're going to need to read the whole letter to see what he has in mind. All these different aspects and contributions and facets of what it means to partner in the gospel. But as an introduction last week, we said that partnership in the gospel includes sharing the gospel, sharing the same grace of the gospel, sharing in suffering for the gospel, the giving and receiving of finances for the sake of the gospel, praying for one another because of the gospel, working on conduct, right? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, striving for unity and having deep and genuine affection for one another. And then we said Gordon Fee, he sums up what Paul means by partnership in the gospel. He says partnership in the gospel is every word spoken and every deed done in behalf of the gospel from the moment of their conversion to the present. That's what it meant for Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. I love the freedom and the encouragement that that brings. Every word, every deed done in behalf of the gospel. That's what it means to partner in the gospel. The good news of Jesus, the work that he's doing and is going to do and has already done, anything that we do in response to that is partnership in the gospel. And so as we consider our own partnership in the gospel, that's why we're doing this preaching series. We want to, God, what do you mean? Partnership in the gospel. What does that mean? What can that look like for us? And how do we grow in this? God, help us to grow in partnership in the gospel. And so then Paul prays this prayer. What a great reminder for us. You want to go out? You want to partner in the gospel? What's a good place to start? Pray. Hey, and so Paul said, verse 4 and 5. Pray always, joy, because of partnership in the gospel. Verse 9. We're going to go through three verses today. Guys, there's nothing fancy that I want to do today. All I want to do is draw your attention to these three verses and just spend some time going through three verses. And so this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So let's spend some time just letting this sink in. So what's the first thing he prays? That your love may increase. No, it's actually not just love. Did you see that? It's love with knowledge and depth of insight. Pray that your love with knowledge and depth of insight may increase. Or, as the ESV says, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge with all discernment. The King James Version, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So we need love and knowledge and depth of insight, knowledge and discernment, knowledge and judgment. Together, these need to grow and increase. Now, for some of us, it's very the first reaction we have is, yes, the love. We need more love, man. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we had more love? Wouldn't your family be happier if we had more love? We need love. But some of us have a natural tendency. We're going to say, oh, yes, knowledge and depth of insight. That's what we need. We need to know God more. If we could just understand the enormity, the awesomeness of God, if you could just get it, think about it, read some more, talk some more, engage with one another some more. Hey, life groups, come on, let's get it. But here's the thing, is we need the balance. I got a natural leaning to any Bulls players here. Bulls, no one's going to admit. Oh, come on, guys. Right? Bulls, that ball's got a bias. It's got a leaning towards. Each of us have got a leaning. Some of us are more like heart, man, and we need love. And some of us are more head, like we need to think about this. We need to understand it. And God says, y'all need both. Isn't this prayer great? That your love with knowledge and depth of insight. This is what needs to grow together. We need knowledge and insight to abound with love, and we need love to abound with knowledge and insight. I'm going to labor this point a little bit. Maybe I can say it another way. We need truth to help us show true love. And we need love to help inform truth. Hey, some of us have seen that before. You can lay out that truth, but there's no love. Or you can just bring on the love, but it's just void of truth. We need the both together. Love together with knowledge and depth of insight. May they abound. May they increase. Next slide over here, two little words. So that. So that. Isn't that interesting? Hey, Paul's praying your love and knowledge and depth of insight can abound, can grow, can increase. Why? So that. And there's three things I think he's going to bring out, or at least three things I want to highlight for us. Three reasons why love and knowledge should be increasing in our lives. The first one is so that you can discern what is best. What does that mean? Like, I want to discern what's best, but what are we talking about here? Right? The ESV says so that you can approve of what is excellent. The NRSV says to help you determine what is best. I need more love and more knowledge and depth of insight so that I can discern what is best, so that I can see what is, or prove of what is excellent. Maybe I can put it like this. Need love, knowledge, and depth of insight so that you will be able to make a proper assessment about what is absolutely essential for life in Jesus. So that we can make a proper assessment about what is absolutely essential for life in Jesus Christ. Because some things are not absolutely essential. And some things are. And we need both love and knowledge, depth of insight, to make a proper assessment about what's really essential, what is totally necessary, and what is not necessary. I like that. See, truth can help us, because he's prayed for knowledge and depth of insight. Truth can help us to a degree to discern what is good. Would you agree? Hey, can read my Bible, get the stuff. Some of this is going to help me realize. So the truth about how Jesus changes how we see money, right? That could really help us, right? The truth about how Jesus changes the nature of your relationships, that's going to help you. The truth about who Jesus says you are, the truth about who Jesus says who I am, that's going to help me discern what is best. The truth, what Jesus says about your sexuality, that's going to help. But also, love can be helpful too. Love can change the way you see other people. Love can change the way you see yourself. Love might help you to forgive yourself for some of those things that you've been unable to forgive yourself for. Love might help you let go of the sin that you love so much because you've grasped a greater love. But knowledge and insight, Matt, is really helpful to discern what is good. But love is also really helpful to discern what is good. Yes. Can you see how both together, love and depth of knowledge and insight, is really going to help us? Hey, I got my leaning this way. It's just going to guide me back to the center. I'm going to lean this way. No, it's going to guide. I need both. You and I need both. And remember, we have a bias. Some of us need to build up on the love a little bit. Some of us need to build up on the knowledge and depth of insight a little bit so that you and I can discern what is absolutely essential regarding life in Christ Jesus. So, love and knowledge and depth of insight, may these abound so that we can discern what is best. And here's the next one, that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, we could separate pure and blameless and fruits of righteousness. It could make those two separate things, but I think it's really helpful to view them together. Maybe I could summarize it like this, so that you can be free and full, right? So pure and blameless, washed clean, all the old stuff gone. I can be free of it, but also full of the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. There's something that God wants to free me of, but there's something God also wants to fill me with. Those two together, I think, are really helpful to see together. So let's talk about that a little bit. Pure and blameless. Right? May your love and knowledge and depth of insight abound so that you can discern what is best, so that you can be pure and blameless. Are you? Are you pure? Are you blameless? I love some like, some, You're both right, I think. Depends what you're thinking. Right, so true, you are blameless in that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that if you put your faith in him, his death is a dying on your behalf. He died on the cross for your sin, and your sinful nature died with him. The consequences of your sin have been dealt with, right? There's no more need for justice. Justice has been served on the cross. It was taken fully by Jesus. If there is a court in heaven, you stand in the court of heaven, justice has been served. You are totally and 100% innocent because the righteousness of Jesus has been given to you. And the consequences of your sin and rebellion were given to Jesus, and justice was executed. One day, at the end, when Jesus returns, there will be a day of judgment. That's what he's talking about. On the day of Jesus, when he returns, every single person that has ever lived will have to give an account to God for the life that they have lived. This is terrible news. This is awful. No one can stand under that scrutiny. No one. Not Gregan, not Glenn. No one. All of us are in deep trouble. But the good news is that if you've put your faith in Jesus, you're not in trouble anymore. Jesus got in trouble for you and for me. And so you have Christ's righteousness. So now comes a 2,000-year-old argument and debate, right? If you are forgiven and blameless, then why is Paul praying this prayer? Why is he saying, I pray that love and knowledge and depth of insight can abound so that you can discern what is best and so be pure and blameless? Because if it's already done by Jesus, then you could have just said, thanks be to God, you're pure and blameless. There's a difference between position and condition. It rhymes, so that's helpful, right? Your position before God standing in the courts of heaven, if you've put your faith in Jesus, pure and spotless. But our condition, our experience of that position is not always there. So there's the question. Can Christians sin? Yes. Can I return to the sin of which I have been freed? I could. So could you. It's an option for all of us. And by our experience, well, we all do, don't we? There's always that leaning back to the old person that still wants to get up and be alive again. Should we be worried about sin anymore? Well, no. But a little bit, it's possible for us to return to our sin. It makes no sense, would you agree? If you've been set free from sin, if you were a slave and you've been set free, why would you return to slavery? Makes no sense. And yet we do it, don't we? If God has sent his son to be crucified for the horror of what you and I did, why would we go back to that? That doesn't make sense. And yet, there it is again, we do. And so, Paul is praying a prayer, not that your position needs adjustment, no, your position in Christ, your position in the courthouse of heaven, that's sorted if you've put your faith in Jesus. But your experience of that does need some work and adjustment. And so because of your partnership in the gospel, I pray that your love and your depth of knowledge and insight may abound so that you can discern what is best, so that you can be free and pure and blameless on the day of Jesus Christ. Paul also prays, not just for freedom, but fullness. I love that. That you'd be full of the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Before Jesus, were you righteous? No. If you answer yes, what is that? That's called self-righteous. So we know self-righteous doesn't cut it. As we grow in love and knowledge and depth of insight, as we're better able to discern what is absolutely essential for life in Jesus Christ, we begin to express the nature that is inside of us. What is fruit? Fruit is an expression of the nature of that particular plant. What does an apple tree produce? It expresses apples. And orange trees express oranges. That's in their nature. They are expressing what is inside of them. And so for you and I, we all express what is inside of us. Hey, some of that's good fruit, some of it's not so good fruit, because we're expressing our condition, not so much our position. And so what Paul is praying is that, hey, we're going to have less and less of the old. Hey, I want you to discern. Stay away from that stuff. It's really not essential. What is essential? I want you to get that. And you'll notice that you start to express the fruit of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Not the fruits of righteousness in Seth. Not the fruits of righteousness in Laura. No, it's the fruit of righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus in you being expressed outward. I love that. I love that. And in order for that to happen, what do we need? Love, knowledge, depth of insight together. So that we can discern what is best and therefore be free and full. Are you guys tracking with me? I know I'm repeating myself. This is how my mind works. I have to repeat it to get it in. And so the final outworking of this, right? The third and final thing is, why is he praying this? To the glory and praise of God. Isn't that so great? Hey, the news of Jesus, the work that he has done, is doing, is going to do, that news prevents any of us getting the glory. Any of it, yes, well done, pat on the back. You're doing so well, my bro. You're inspiring for me. I want to be like you. Oh, you're inspiring me to be more like Jesus. Okay, now we're talking. This, what we're praying about here, is nothing that you and I can work up. That's why it's a prayer. Otherwise, it would be self-help. Otherwise, it'd be like, listen here, you need to work better. You need to start doing this thing a little bit better. We need our 10-step plan. You need to get up at 5 in the morning. You need to work harder. But no, 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 no. We're going to someone else. We're going to God. Please help me, God. Please help these people, God, so that God gets the praise and the glory at the end of the day. It's nothing that you can work up. It's nothing that I can do in myself. It's not because one of the elders prayed for you. Life group leaders, if people in your life group are doing well, praise God. It wasn't you. Can you be a bad life group leader? Yeah, probably. Could you be a good life group leader? Yes. That's not the point. If you are a good life group leader, was it you that produced the fruits in the people? No. Who was it? It was God. So praise God. God works the miraculous. Just think about yourself for a moment. You were insolent before you knew God. You were foul-mouthed, man-hating, woman-hating, lust-filled, selfish, self-righteous, self-aggrandizing, self-hating, money-crazed, fill in the blank. Some of those things you're like, yes, that was me. Did you improve yourself? No. New life inside of you, new nature being expressed outward. Anything that is of God inside of you, praise God. He's merciful. Praise God. He's gracious. Praise God. He's generous. And so in eternity, I think that's going to be fun. Did God use then? God used then. Amazing. I mean, some family members, you know what they were like and they met the Lord. Or some guys from high school. Hey, 20, 30 years later, you met someone. I remember meeting our first team rugby prop at the end of varsity days. It was about 5 years. I met him at a church meeting. I nearly fell off my feet. I was standing up. Said, what are you doing here? He looked very sheepish. Said, yeah. No, I became a Christian following Jesus. I'm like, you? Really? You were a savage. Was that because he did something? No. It was because God got into his life. Praise God for that. Hey? Praise God. Who gets the glory? God does. And so every person here who's put their faith in Jesus, you've seen something of Jesus. You've embraced him. You're partnering with him in the work, bless you, that he's doing in the world. And so how great that we get to pray this prayer. This is my prayer, Liberty Family Church, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. And so that's it. If there's something that I've said this morning that has made you want to put your faith in the work of Jesus for the very first time, you've never done that before. You're thinking about that courthouse of heaven and you're wondering, man, am I in trouble? Well, yes, but there's good news. If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you don't have to do anything more than that. There's no hoops. There's no courses. You put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that he took that punishment for you on your behalf. You confess your sin. You give it to him. You trust in him, and he will give you his newness of life. And there and then, there is freedom and forgiveness and the hope of fullness as well. If you'd like to pray that, you can do that right now. Jesus, I give you my sin. I believe you died for me. I give my life to you. And I receive your life in me. And if you prayed that prayer and you open your eyes, you're opening your eyes as a newborn. Just as a baby comes to life on that first day. There's growth that that baby needs and there's growth that you would need. But it's new life. And so then, how wonderful that you get to join in taking communion with the rest of us. This is one full reminder, one full symbols of the work that Jesus has done for you and I. And we celebrate that. We participate in that together. 1 Corinthians reminds us that this is a cup of thanksgiving and that we get to participate in the blood of Christ Jesus. And that when we break this bread, we participate in the breaking of his body. There's a participation that you and I don't just say, thank you, that was nice. We're actually participating in the old part of us dying. We're participating in the new life that he offers for us. His one body given for his many people. And so let's do this together. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus broken for us. We eat this bread in remembrance of him. Thank you, Father, that you loved the world so much that you gave us Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus shed for us. We do this in remembrance of him. Father, we pray that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that we might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. May you be glorified and praised through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.